I think so much of our joy actually comes from not just trying to create joyful experiences, but actually by releasing your resistance to what is. It's not just perceivably stressful call or something unfortunate happens in life. That event in and of itself is not what's going to cause you stress and anxiety. But your thought that it shouldn't be happening is going to create that difference between experiencing the true joy that is available to you in that moment and not.
My brother Andre, wake the fake up. You are here in the flesh in Laguna Beach. You made it down. How are you today, brother?
I'm glorious, man. So beautiful. Your home is spectacular. And every time I get to see you, it just lights me up.
It's great to have you here. You know, we spent time at your humble abode, which is actually a sanctuary, a temple, a crystal in the mountains of Topanga, not to put you on blast. But I had a moment there with you that took me back to childhood. And it's really interesting, you know, carving and weaving and meeting new brothers that you recognize in this life. And I think for a lot of us over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, it was a lot of competition energy with men, especially, you know, how do we be the top dog on the mountain? How do we be the one that everyone comes to in the time of need? How do we, you know, separate ourselves? Where, you know, in the last 10 years for me, especially, it's not been about separation, but it's been about inclusion mm-hmm. and about connection. And you and I connected through mutual friends, and I saw that I immediately had a brother. I recognized it in your eyes. I recognized it in your aura. And within a few weeks, we decided that it would be pivotal for us to spend some quality time together. So I made my way up to your beautiful crystal palace, and we had a day and night together to remember and carve through so many different things. And I was able to process a lot of stuff that I've been holding in, you know, deep in my chest, deep in my body and my soul. And, you know, just that experience opens up a level of trust that some people don't have with people they've known their entire lives.
Yeah.
And that's what I see as rapid growth. And for you to hold that space for me and for me to be there and hold space for you energetically, that's what it's all about. How long have you been in the process of being in that type of container with brothers? And how did you get there?
Yeah. Well, thanks for the beautiful reflection. And I totally agree with just everything that you said energetically and resonates with my own personal journey. I think that oftentimes growing up in the modern society we live, it's like you get better by screwing people over. There's this competition survival paradigm that a lot of people are stuck in. And in that, you don't leave space for being able to actually see people and actually love people. And I feel like we all just want to be seen. We all want to be loved. And so for me on my own personal journey, man, it's been over the past 7 years, I think it's been a process as you start to deepen the sense of knowing who you are intrinsically in your essence, not just the labels that have been placed on you by society, your name, your color, your caste, your creed, your religion, but tapping into a place within yourself and finding home within yourself, then you can more easily recognize that and point that out and be a reflection and a clean mirror for other people in your life. And I think for men that are listening to this especially, and of course it has its ripples and impact for women out there, brotherhood is so nourishing, like true brotherhood. And I didn't have any brothers growing up. We both have an older sister, right?
Right. Yeah.
And you know, it's a different thing completely when you find yourself in connection with another man who is also developed mentally, physically, spiritually, and that don't need or want anything from you other than the true friendship of enjoying the moment, of reflecting on what crazy life this is, and to share codes about our journey and how we've been able to navigate this wild world that we live in. And in that simpatico and that resonance that we find, we just become a catalyst for each other's exponential growth. And I think that's so fulfilling once you start to experience it because it's so rare.
Yeah. Everything you just said is kind of, you know, second part to our first conversation on your podcast, The Know Thyself,
yeah.
Is that, you know, a lot of us are living in the illusionary state where we perceive ourselves how others perceive us. And at some point that mask has to come off. And when the mask can come off with your brother, then there's a place of raw truth where you're actually seeing yourself and you can be yourself. And I think getting to that comfort zone, like what you just said and articulated so well, is so critical for our own personal growth and to really be there as a continuing source of incubation around brothers. And this goes for sisters as well, but I'm speaking because I'm a brother, right? You're speaking because you're a brother. And not having a brother growing up, like an actual biological brother, it doesn't prep you for certain relationships that you come across. And it was so competitive for me, you know, in high school and getting into college and everything else. It was just like nonstop competitiveness, which drives you to a certain degree, but it also lessens your ability to see your true self. And so by operating in a whole new paradigm shift where your glass is full and you're really there just to share. And again, like you said, enjoy the beauty of this life and how crazy this life is. What it does is it tempers the stress. It calms the central nervous system. It creates relaxation mode, and it allows you to begin to trust. And that's what I'm seeing with the brothers that I have in my life that I've built over the last 10 years, this unique level of trust. And with that trust, we're now getting into higher levels of attainment. We're now being able to go into different areas and different pockets of thinking, and which then provoke action. Are you seeing different forms of action coming from within you that might not have been there before? Mm-hmm. And are you motivated and inspired by that? Where it's like now, it's like no fucks given. It's just like, let's just go all the way.
There's definitely a lot of that, man. I think, you know, being on the path of self-actualization and self-realization, which we're all on, whether or not you realize it, but for those that have chosen to be an active participant in that path and to really choose that and to claim their own awakening, on the journey, it can be very ugly. There's a lot of purging. There's a lot of shadow material you move through. There's a lot of self-doubt and voices in your head. And to go through that and then to go on the other side to where you're actually starting to experience the fruits of that work, it's what you do in the dark that shines in the light. And so once you're in the light and you get to experience other brothers who've been doing that work and other individuals and communities and connections and opportunities that come in that are a vibratory match to who you've now become, it's the best ever. It's like why we do this, you know? It's like you're raising your vibration so you can get that reflection via the external world as well. But it's an inside job first and foremost. And for me, as I've been on my own journey, on my own path, being surrounded by amazing community, women and men, and more recently, the past 6 months, particularly brothers, there's a level of space that is held for an individual that is, you know, successful in the 3D, has, you know, done great in the world, but is like super heart-centered, is a leader, and wants genuinely the best for you, irrespective of what that means for them. Holding that space for somebody to allow them to step into the bigness of who they are and to be able to shine the light, the capacity they actually have the potential to, is so beautiful. And then we get to be those mirrors for each other. And like I was speaking to earlier, then your growth is my growth because you feel the inherent interconnectedness of all life. But then also you get to choose the relationships you really want to nourish and foster and grow instead of just having hundreds and hundreds of people you kind of have shallow depth, you know, relationships with, to choose a smaller circle to really go deep with and see the codes that you guys can share and how you can support each other physically, mentally, financially, spiritually, whatever comes about that. And you know, I think that's just such a rewarding part of the path.
Yeah, I think that's everything. Circle got smaller, vision got larger. Yeah. And you're able to make an inclination towards life and the things that you love at a much rapid and solid pace. If you're spread out so thin and you're just fostering all these relationships that are surface level, you're really not getting anywhere. And this life, it's finite, the amount of time we have. I know our souls are infinite. I know that time is an illusion, but at the same time, we are living a drop in the ocean of time. That's a Rumi quote, I'm paraphrasing, but that's reality. And so the more fruitful our relationships are and the more nourishing that we're allowing ourselves to evolve within those relationships, the further we're gonna be able to grow, and we're not gonna be going through the same lessons over and over and over. I'm always saying, like, you got to learn your lessons. You got to go through pain. You got to hit the deepest parts of the valley to get to the peaks. But at some point, you can't keep going through the same cycles over and over and over. If you keep running into a wall, that's insanity. And surrounding yourselves with beautiful, empowered people that are really there to see you grow and to see you nourish is not just a cliche statement of love and brotherhood. It's real. It's palpable. I notice it immediately when I'm around my deep, deep tribe. And I know that they have my back unconditionally, and they're not just yes men all around me,
yeah.
Right? Because I think we've all dealt with people that are just, you know, jumping on whatever wave you're on and things like that. And with that just kind of lessens your own desire and drive to get better every day. And I think getting better every day needs to be defined too. You know, a lot of people's like, what does that mean? Is it business? Is it your health? Is it your relationships? I think it's everything. It's an umbrella that how you do anything is how you do everything. And so for me, my rituals are in place. You know, my relationships are in place. I know what I have to do with my business, and I know what I have to get things done. And my spiritual growth is involved with all that. All of that is spirituality. You know, it's not the 1 hour that I have first thing on the rise. That's just my only time for spirituality. Spirituality is encompassing every relationship and every nuance. It's a way of looking through the lens. When did your spiritual spark start to develop? When did your desire for things outside of yourself or within you through the lens of looking at yourself start to grow? Was it an aha moment? Was it one teacher? What happened there?
Yeah, so I'm sure just like you and most people that are listening, you know, it's a series of moments, it's a series of realizations, it's a series of deaths of who you thought you were to reveal a deeper truth of who you actually are in your essence. And I think, you know, just to piggyback off what we were talking about a little bit earlier, you know, the spiritual path at times can feel very lonely, where you feel like you're going in and all by yourself. And a lot of times you do have to go inwards, and it's an individual process that you need to go through ultimately. And if you have the ability to connect with and find individuals to support you on the path and develop community, it makes it so much better when you don't have to go through everything alone, you know, and we're not meant to. That's not how we biologically evolve. That's not how it's going to be best for us in this moment now in modern society. And so, you know, for those that are listening that don't feel like that, I just want to speak into that don't feel like they have community right now. They don't feel like they have brothers or sisters that can really see them, that can feel them, that can resonate on their journey with them on their journey. It's not because they're not out there. They are. But by you doing the work, by you purging what you need to purge and releasing what you need to release and becoming more of who you truly are, you then become a match to those relationships and opportunities and people to come into your life. And so I just want to speak into that, because at times it can feel lonely. In my own personal journey, there were many times when it, you know, did feel lonely. I would say at 16, I first kind of got this spurt. It came in the view, you know, in the form of a business opportunity that ended up being kind of disguised as a personal development program. And I really went for like 3 years going to different, you know, seminars and reading books like Bob Proctor and Jim Rohn and Tony Robbins and Napoleon Hill, and like really immersing myself into knowing that I am actually a creator of life, and that I don't have to accept the status quo of what everyone else in the trajectory of life that they're on. You know, I'm going to go to school, get a good degree, go to college, get a good degree, get a nice job, a comfy paycheck for 40 years, retire, and then die. And it was like, yep. And that sounds very stark the way that I shared that, but it really is this kind of cookie cutter way that we're all supposed to live. Yep. And that just wasn't exciting to me, especially when I met certain individuals that were living life by design, living life on their terms. I was like, okay, if somebody else is doing it, that means it's possible. And that means that I could live that life. So over, you know, the course of 3-4 years up until 19, I was really kind of focused on financial growth, business development, personal, seminars, personal growth seminars. And I went on a journey of transcribing audiobooks and just like this insatiable hunger for development of myself. And I think that was really instrumental and a big foundation for a lot of what was to come after that. At 19, I would say there was a couple things. I had a falling out with a group of friends of mine. I met this individual who is a Shaolin monk descendant, and he did this like energetic reading on me. I look back, and you can always connect the dots moving forward. I look at that as one of the pivotal moments that really opened my mind up to what's possible within the human consciousness if you purify your system enough. Mm. That there is a level of vibrancy, of beauty that is accessible when you purify all those impurities that are stored within your body.
We're talking about the traumas, the ideas that you had for yourself, and the limited capacity of your reality.
All of that.
Yep.
and the fundamental noise and close identification with our own thought and emotion. Okay. Being lost in thought is very analogous to like being in a dream.
Yeah.
It's not that much different from when you're sleeping. It's not that much different to somebody that you see on the side of a road that's just seems to be out of their mind, that's, you know, saying all these crazy things.
Schizophrenic. Yeah.
Most people are like that, but they just don't open their mouth.
Right.
You know, there's this incessant noise telling them who they should be, what they should do according to somebody else's paradigm and narrative. And they've taken that off into who they are and how they should operate in the world. When you find modalities and practices, many of which I started with doing Vipassanas, did some of Sadhguru's early programs and went to his ashram and spent time there to allow some of that noise to settle down. And man, I'm just such a big believer in immersive experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like really giving yourself not just the 20 minutes a day of reading a book. I do believe in habits and building those supportive, consistent behaviors that build over time to make a more aligned version of yourself. But immersing yourself in a 7 or 10 day experience where you can really take a step out of who you've been allows you to get on a new track, a new trajectory of who you're going to be. Yeah, and so...
Absolutely, 100%. You're talking about like real epigenetic unfolding,
mm-hmm.
right? Doing the steps that can take, you know, years of small practices, but you get it out in a week or 10 days, whether it is a Vipassana or a dark retreat or 21 days in the jungles, who knows what it is.
Yeah.
You're rewriting your script.
Yeah.
Okay, please carry on.
Yeah, so I would say over a series of that, I decided I want to commit to a daily meditation practice and like really see how... Time passes much faster than we think it does. And I looked at individuals in 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. What is their experience of life? What are they doing? And if I want to have a level of connection to life, a level of abundance, a level of impact, then who I am and really the behaviors that I do, especially before I go to bed, when I wake up in the morning and throughout my day, is going to make a huge impact on who I become and the level of life that becomes available to me. And so I decided to become devoted and committed to practices that really support that and allow me to bring more presence into my life. And so over the years where it's been, yeah, Vipassanas or dark retreats or, you know.
How many Vipassanas have you done?
I've done 2 10-day Vipassanas. Okay. And then I spent quite a bit of time at III in Tennessee at Sadhguru's ashram doing various different advanced courses there. 6 days in darkness in Oregon I did last year. And you know, those are great. Those are impactful, immersive experiences. But then it's like carrying the momentum in your daily life, you know? Right. And so it's been a series of unfoldments and it's a continual process.
Of course. Yeah.
And so I've just noticed that as you begin to quiet down the noise in your mind and you start to hear those intuitive whispers that are always there, but you just are now able to listen, you're able to hear. That has been the most valuable thing because I've been able to make small pivots that have then, you know, 1 degree change over a course of a year is in a completely different direction. But 1 degree after 1 day doesn't look like a much of a change, right? But you do that over time, right? You don't get results going to the gym once. It's that repeated action over a sustained period of time. By reducing the amount of noise that you have in your internal system and starting to hear more of your true voice, your true spirit that's coming through, then you can find alignment slowly, slowly, slowly in more alignment with your dharma. And then you start to make slightly different decisions. You know, I have this hunch that I'm going to start and explore videography or photography. And that becomes for me, a skill set that is now instrumental into so much of what I'm doing. I'm going to, I have a passion for podcasting. So I want to start producing shows for people and, you know, merge it with the passion that I have for the personal development space. And, the evolution then became, all right, I want to start my own podcast and do it in my own unique way and do it the best that I've seen. And, that over the course of the past year has been one of the most beautiful unfoldments now, right?
Right.
Wake the fake up by knowing thyself.
That's it, right? Okay, I love what you're saying. I mean, this is almost the center point of my entire message is that self-love only becomes self-love when you actually do the work and you start unfolding what's been getting you out of your life's purpose and your dharma. We have been governed through whether it's state-sponsored schools or the trauma of the social life of today, the 21st century model, the governments, the industrial complexes, all of these things, is that life has lost its presence. We're not there. We're not in our body. We're so connected to so many different things that are happening, world events, news, the drama on TV, this thing, that thing, it just gets so out of control that it's no wonder that we can't cultivate our own magic. It's no wonder that we're not listening to our own voice. And I love what you said regarding, you know, seeing people that are, might be under the influence or they might be schizophrenic and they're there and the voices are going and they're just speaking to themselves, which I come across that a lot. But you're right. So many people are living that reality without actually speaking. And they're hearing all these different thoughts, and all those different thoughts are confusing them and not allowing them to actually penetrate a particular thought that's going to take them from point A to point B. That's a really good point. You know, most of the ceremonies that I've done and the time that I've spent, I've done a few Vipassanas, I've done silent retreats in the jungles. You know, every time I go to, you know, on the island, I get silent for at least 3-4 days before I even do anything, just getting away from my work and stuff like that. I start remembering things that I once knew that I was supposed to do or I knew about myself that I'd completely forgotten. And I have these like crystalline moments where I'm just like, wait a second, Shervin. Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, I need to have this conversation with my mother and tell her this. Oh, it's okay for, you know, how you reacted like that, you know, with, you know, during that time with your father. All of this stuff starts to unfold when I turn everything off. And we're so stimulated by noise that it's almost like most people need the stimulation just to get by. They can't get into the silence. And so if you're listening to this and you're listening to what Andre beautifully said, this is a moment for you to find yourself through the silence and find yourself without having so much information being pulled through you, where you are now the information cultivator. It can come from you. It doesn't need to be some radical idea that you read in some book. You are loaded with all of that information. We just had your event with Dispenza, and a lot of the stuff that I got from his work is that everything is within us ultimately. You know, we are sublime in that sense. All of our DNA is the collection of, you know, all of our ancient mystic family, and that's all in there. And I find a lot of people have no idea or could ever even comprehend that way of thinking. They're too stuck on the mechanistic material way of thinking. And so I love that you were able to do that at such an early age. What a gift for that opportunity to be able to unravel that while you're still evolving as a man and entering into your heightened adulthood. And so, speaking about where you're at now and where you're at today, you are the host of the Know Thyself podcast, and you're doing some really cool immersions. I mean, we just had an awesome, epic immersion again with Joe Dispenza. What do you see in your very near future? What are some of the things that are you're excited about and you want to get involved with?
I believe the power of capturing and sharing conscious conversation. I think that being able to share different perspective and thought that can be liberating for people in the medium that we have right now is an opportunity we have never had before. The opportunity is unlike anything that has ever happened before to realize that the inherent interconnected world that we live in, both physically, ethereally, but then also digitally right now, and the messages that we can share via podcasts like these and messages online can be a catalyst for the mass awakening to happen on this planet. You know, it's like...
It has to be.
I mean, how else is it going to happen? How else are we going to spread these messages of raising consciousness and awareness?
You know? Right.
And sharing stories, sharing your own personal process. These are the tools, these are the inspiration for which people can actually find fuel for their own path. And I think that becomes so activating. So for me, what I see out in my trajectory is to continue deepening, bringing forth powerful conversations. For me, is such a merger in between. I love a well-crafted question. I think it's an answer half given if you really put time into what has meaning to you and what you want to know and discover. So I think a lot of people are seekers out there. They're curious. They have these deeper inquiries. And I want to be able to create the highest quality content for them to be really, truly transformational and then merge that more and more with community in-person events. Because I think we are so connected digitally and it's great, like for many of the reasons we spoke to, but being in person and getting to experience eye contact physically on a human level is so nourishing. And for people that can see you that are on similar paths. So I have a deep calling to continue to cultivate community and to bring you know these individuals together. And through that, I think the awakening and many shifts will then become revealed to us. I see a lack of really just organizing the energy. We don't have a lack of brilliant minds that are out there that have incredible ideas and solutions for a lot of the biggest problems we face on the planet. Right. But what we do have a lack of is individuals organizing the energy and for the minds and hearts to come together to start exploring these and start sharing these. I don't see as many people doing that on a big scale. So yeah, for me, I'm excited to continue growing the podcast, do a round table, these kind of Jeffersonian type dinners, big live events where we bring community together, and we'll be keep expounding on that. And yeah, it's so nourishing for me firsthand as somebody that's, you know, the host of it, but then also just an enjoyer of it and the whole process of its unfoldment.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I mean, there's nothing like being able to connect with someone one-on-one, seeing someone in the flesh, especially someone that you have reverence for and you've learned a lot from. You know, I receive that information from people all day long when I'm, you know, walking down the streets of Laguna or I'm somewhere else. And I sometimes take it for granted, like the impact that we're having on people. And people, they act and they feel like they know you. And to have those experiences in persons and to be able to do these, you know, I would say almost like an immersion with people and create consistent flow is key. There's so many people out there that that's all they're asking for. They want to be part of a tribe. And you're right. In order to connect with tribe, you have to become the beacon. The laws of resonance are real. If you're vibrating at a certain oscillation, you're going to attract the same thing. Like attracts like. And, you know, I think creating a system that is evolving, kind of like the gene keys, where it's a poetry of life, it's a poetry of energy, is going to be foundational for the times ahead. You know where I think we are. I think you asked me on Know Thyself where we're at today. All of our systems are failing. And I'm not here to be the bearer of bad light, because I think speaking such beauty into existence of what our reality can be is so instrumental. That is the biology of belief. But our systems are failing. Our school systems are failing. Our medical system is failing. The financial systems are failing. And maybe they're failing for good reasons. Maybe they're not meant to be saved. Maybe it's meant to be an absolute revolution. Maybe it's not a shift. It's a complete detonation of all of these systems that are basically robbing the vital force of our life, whether it's our ecosystem, whether it's the energetic vital systems of human beings. And I want to be dharmically part of the unfolding and the resurrection of this entire reality. And it happens, number one, with what you just said, human-to-human contact. Love shared in the most openest space with such clarity and such beautiful clairvoyance. And that right there is the art of living. That is the art of growing a garden. That is the art of cultivating children at such an early age and giving them the opportunity to create self-love. And so what we need to do is we definitely need to have an immersive experience where we can bring people from all walks of life, because it doesn't have to be just one particular community that gets access to that.
Yeah,
everyone needs access to that. Everyone needs to be part of the inclusionary energy of being part of the solution. And that creates social equity. Right? Because what you're talking about is social equity, people feeling like they're part of the solution. If people don't feel like they're part of it, they're not going to jump in. They're just going to look to escape, and they're going to look for ways to keep their lives somewhat from dropping into a miserable existence. And that's where we're at right now. Mm. Okay, let's talk about our backgrounds.
Yeah.
You are Lebanese and Jordanian.
Yeah.
You're split right there. Palestinian is in there as well. So it's three of them.
Yeah.
So you have, so like the trilateral, I'm pure Persian, and we come from similar regions. Mm-hmm. You're also, not to get into like horoscopes and stuff, but you are a Sagittarius and you're a Scorpio rising.
Oh yeah.
So as am I, what is your moon sign?
Gemini.
Your Gemini moon sign. Okay. So I'm a Capricorn moon. And it's interesting. I've never met anyone that's a Sag and has a Scorpio rising.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are always like enamored by that with me. And I know a little bit about it. I understand it. Do you know that energy about yourself? Do you know what that represents in the zodiac?
Not a whole lot, to be honest. I haven't dove into it too much. Yeah. I've had many women share what that means, and
yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, it's women that share it.
Of course. Yeah. It just tends to naturally be more drawn to that. I think there's beautiful learnings that can come from every modality, you know, and, I've definitely resonated with a lot of what has been shared in that aspect of just kind of being like, an adventure into the inner depths and inner realms and, very sad energies, like that adventurous kind of spirit.
Free spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, wanderer and all those things.
Yeah.
And you kind of answered what I was wanting to get to, is that there's so many different modalities out there. I mean, there's probably 1,000 of them that I know off the top of my head if I write them all down. And all of them have a unique signature to add to your life. I think it's key that we don't drop into them as it's our complete architecture to every framework. These are all energies to take in and embody the frequency. And I think it came up because you're surrounding yourself with brilliant people. You're surrounding yourself with masters from every walks of life, and everybody is using techniques and designs and systems and things of that nature. And I remember there was a moment in my life where I was around so many different thoughts, so many different perspectives, just traditional Ayurveda, traditional TCM, you know, anthroposophists, theosophists, Rosicrucianists, gene keys, human design, all the different Vedic astrologies, all these different things. And I was a little bit overwhelmed where I was like, okay, I have to learn all this stuff. I have to learn everything. What I found was not representing myself in the embodiment of those and just kind of taking from them as they flow seemed to work best for me and allowed me to grow with it. Yeah. Are you kind of in that same boat?
Yeah. And I love I think you shared on your Instagram recently of like, never identify with, you know, the religion or the business or whatever the vehicle is, but with your mission.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fully resonate with that. And there's many different pathways. And like we spoke to, thousands, many, many, many different modalities to know more about yourself and to go on the path and to take what works and to explore with what resonates most and to not cling on to any one thing. So it can become dogmatic when you think that there's just kind of, you know, a few different ways in which reality is speaking to you. You don't need any modality other than the silence of nature to reveal to you, you know, and just yourself and silence. Like, but there are these beautiful modalities that are fun and cool to explore and I think have a lot of value.
That's right. And, find what flows for you and what resonates for you. And if it makes sense, operate with discernment.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, the discernment has to be exercised. We have to be in a position where we're making decisions based on a perspective that's not surface-based, or they see other people running to it, or it's an image thing and it becomes hyper-materialistic. You know, we've kind of lost ourselves a little bit, I think, in the New Age spirituality group because it's become so fashionable to want to represent yourself in certain ways that seem like you are the walking mystic or that you have a higher level of energy that other people might want to get from you and magnetize to. And that becomes very dangerous. And Rudolf Steiner talked about it in 1910. He said this was around the time when all the seances were coming to Europe and the Ouija board and all this other stuff. And he was just shaking his head. I mean, it quoted that he was actually more attracted to the materialists than the fake spirituality movement. Mm-hmm. He saw that to be very dangerous, and we have to be very careful with that. Do you see that at all in the communities that you've been around and some of the different degrees of separation? Do you notice that frequency at all?
Definitely. I feel like
without judgment, it's just
no.
Yeah.
I mean, from my own personal path, I feel like I've become more and more allergic to pretense, you know, just in general, but also
explain that for people so they can, you know, understand what you mean.
When you
that.
Come to engagement or connection with another human being, are you fully present to just what is alive within the connection of two individuals? Or do you have a business you want to pitch them? Do you have a belief that you want to shed onto them? Do you want to get them to be any other way than who they are? The most powerful way to change somebody is actually not by trying to change them.
That's right.
You resist. What you persist, resists, right? And so by being the living embodiment of somebody that doesn't have pretense, but just wants best and wants to see the flourishment for all living beings, then you become like the bees that come, that goes to the flowers when it blossoms. And so just focus on blossoming, you know? And so, yeah, pretense is really just, and the more you grow on your own path, the more you can pick up the subtle energies in which somebody is engaging with you. And I think you'll see less and less of that as you start to just attract less and less of that.
Yeah, that's so well said. You know, again, not to go keep going back to Steiner, but he said the exact same thing almost. He said, you know, if you are looking to expand others' consciousness, you cannot impede your thoughts or emotions or perspectives onto them. In fact, that will do nothing but the opposite of what you're trying to achieve. You have to be the embodiment. And if they sniff it and it's something that they're interested, they'll come to you.
Yeah.
And that's just like anything else in life, right? The way that we're vibrating and the energetic signatures that we offer is going to signal the people that are ready.
Yeah.
You know, and that's such a beautiful awareness and a conscious state to have. And I felt that from you from the moment that we met. You know, it's I get a lot of characters around me, you know, and a lot of beautiful people, but a lot of people that it's pretty obvious, like energetically, that they want something from me or they need something from me or they're looking to fill something in their cup. And, you know, I never felt that way from you at all. In fact, I felt the opposite. And that was what invited me in. You know, I could have never invited in if I never felt that.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's a powerful takeaway also for the listeners is you look at nature, all of nature is abundant and it gives. The human mind is the only thing really capable of separating itself from all of life. Mm-hmm. And people feel it, whether they'd call it, I just got a vibe, or they're sensing something, you know, deeper, or they can maybe articulate it more in different verbiage and language. People can tell when you have a pretense, when you have an agenda. And there's that quote, I forgot who it's by, but like decency is the absence of agenda mm-hmm. and strategy. And so can you ask yourself, and not as a strategy to get it, but can I go into relationships to give, not just to get? If you're also using that, like I said, as a strategy to get something, then it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You have to authentically arrive there just wanting to give and support and share and understand that can be difficult when a lot of people are struggling in some sort of survival consciousness or, you know, but you can arrive there. Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. The scarcity mindset is strong. And in order to shake that, it's going to take some work. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've been in scarcity or lack or poverty conscious, whatever it is, in order to get to that state, maybe it's an aha moment, but I think it takes some serious cultivation within you. You know, some people have stared in the mirror for 36 hours at once or done like the 9-point death meditation. I don't know if you're aware of that one. That's intense, but something has to unravel. There has to be some form of samadhi. Something has to die before you actually die. And that's what opens the pathway and gives life to new opportunities, new ideas, new concepts, and a new version of yourself. Just like, you know, a snake sheds its skin, you know, it's going through a metamorphic change. What are some other techniques that are working for you right now in your life that are keeping you in a pace where you are in a fast-paced life right now? There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of communication. There's a lot of people. Are you do you kind of close in a little bit? Do you turn things off? I do personally. I've shut down my people's ability to communicate with me. I just have to, and it's not a selfish thing. It's a survival thing almost. Yeah. Are you in that same kind of situation?
Yeah. So I mean, there's kind of two ways. Yes, for sure. And there's big pushes where you're doing big events and lots of activity at once. It's nice to kind of go hermit mode. And I like to do that for sure occasionally. And
But I like that because that's interval.
Mm-hmm.
That's like your immune system.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want a dysregulated immune system that's got constant micro-inflammatory things that are hitting you.
Yeah.
And you're just in that state of flux all the time, but you're surviving. You don't know it, but you're in that state.
Yeah.
You want big hormetic changes that launch you, like jumping in a cold plunge or whatever it is. And that's how your body responds to stress. And then you go back to baseline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the question then becomes, how can you regulate your nervous system and provide yourself the capacity to be easeful in what most people would perceive as stressful situations? if you're doing a lot of activity in life, you have a lot of work, you're jumping out from call to call and you're putting out fires. If you run a big business, like it's inevitable, life is going to throw challenges and problems at you. It's part of being in this dimension.
Right.
How you carry things within you is going to determine whether or not you actually cultivate more and more lethargy in your system. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you can realize, and the more that you go on your own spiritual practice, the more you realize that this world that we're moving in is much the display of the experience of the continual passing and rising and falling away of a phenomena is very much so like a movie, you know? And so when you're so identified and you're so in the preoccupation of being the main character, and that's who you think you are, you're in the movie, then whatever happens to you in life, you're going to experience that level of energy in your own reality. If it's a sad movie, you're going to be sad. If it's a depressing one, you're going to be depressed. If it's happy, you'll be happy. But then you're going to be followed by a stressful situation. It's going to be a stressful movie. So how do you
want... You're reacting to everything.
You're reactionary instead of the true ability to respond, which comes from, and that's responsibility, ability to respond. You're not going to be able to cultivate that unless you actually see reality for what it is. By becoming silent, you start to experience the display of all phenomena around you as that. It's continually changing, and our resistance to the awareness of the impermanent flow that is the nature of reality creates that suffering. So, you know, it's really just how can I carry ease within my own being and all that life is bringing to me? How can you take that deep breath? How can you take that exhale when something perceivably shitty happens in your experience?
Gratitude.
That's a powerful one.
Yeah.
Gratitude. If you're even listening to this right now, if you have the luxury to be listening to a podcast on a smartphone, you are in the top tier percent of all life and all human life right now. And so there are so many bad things that could be happening to you in any given moment that are not happening to you, from a serious illness to being born in a third world country, unfortunate circumstances. There is innumerable things to continually be grateful for. And so it's just our inability to actually see that and accept that, that I feel like cuts that life force energy off from us.
That's everything right there. I mean, if somebody right now is listening to us having a conversation on how to wake the fake up by knowing thyself, you're winning.
Yeah.
You're in some type of karmic path. You know, this isn't random. You're not in a random situation, and you've actually chosen to be here, which is a beautiful, beautiful gesture to yourself. And I love that. You were speaking about, you know, all these different things. You're putting out fires and all these different things. I feel like for the last 4 or 5 years, I've kind of been in that state to a certain degree, because it's part of the reality of living in a dimension that if you're going big, you got to take those things on. It's just part of the nature. And that's the main, you know, I would say force that I'm dealing with every single day, you know, and that collides with my relationship with my mother and the grieving of my father and other relationships. But ultimately, when I can see myself out of the character of being Shervin, of being this person within this organization and having to be the person that solves everything, everything kind of just flows out of me and I can feel the fires cooled off. Even though, you know, I haven't done anything tangible, it's just the mindset and the awareness of it and looking at it as a game. And, you know,
yeah,
it's a beautiful way of turning off all the noise and really embodying the spirit of it and being grateful for it as well.
Yeah.
You know,
it's powerful, man. I think so much of our joy actually comes from not just trying to create joyful experiences, but actually by releasing your resistance to what is. It's not just, you know, a perceivably stressful call or something unfortunate happens in life. That event in and of itself is not what's going to cause you stress and anxiety. But your thought that it shouldn't be happening is going to create that delta, that difference between experiencing the true joy that is available to you in that moment and not. And
that's right. 55th key. Victimization.
Yeah,
we're entering a phase where we're vaporizing that off, where it's literally being obliterated from our tangible service to self or what we think we are, which is we're not victims. but we've been embedded with that coding for a minute now.
Yeah.
And this conversation is really cultivated around that.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. That's knowing thyself.
Yeah.
And patting yourself on the back.
And another big element too, I feel like, is just play and laughter. Like outside of the cameras of this podcast and most of our interactions, bro, we're just shooting the shit, dude. We're just having a good time. We're just like, you know, enjoying life and laughing. And there's this over-seriousness that can come when trying to solve your problems and, you know, you're trying to force your own awakening. And like a lot of this stuff can be heavy. And to realize that your awakening is very much inevitable. It's going to happen whether or not you like it at some time, whether it's this life or another. And to enjoy the damn process, man. And so much can be released inside of you as you continue to play and laugh and find people that you can find that authentic joy with.
The cosmic joke.
Yeah.
The cosmic giggle. Yeah, that's something you and I have. Like, yeah, I just can't stop laughing when I'm around you and I just want to fuck around.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like when you laugh, I laugh and vice versa.
Yeah.
And we just have that unique ability to be like kids.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that's an anthroposophical vision, is the moment you lose your child within is the moment you become, you know, calcified.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hardened, Philistine, and the spirit starts to leak out and you don't have that malleability within. And just laugh your ass off. Find the humor in life, you know, and find your tribe that can share in that same humor.
Yeah.
Brother, thank you for cruising down and being on Wake the Fake Up and blessing us with your journey and your crystal perspective, which is so well articulated. And you know, you've done the work. It's obvious, and you're going to continue to do so. You've chopped wood, you've carried water, you've found forms of enlightenment, and you're going to do the same thing tomorrow, and you'll continue to do the same thing in your path in life. I'm here to support you in every step of the way. Mm-hmm. I have your back for life. I look forward to some expansive immersions with you where we can get a lot of people involved and we can have a laugh fest and
yeah.
we can get into cool conversations
yeah.
and create opportunities for people to find themselves and to be part of this mission, because there's no hierarchy here. There's no, you know, this whole thing where someone's got it figured out, someone's got more money, someone's got this, they got a bigger network or whatever it is. That's all an illusion. That's you know, that's the biggest farce of it all. It would make everything that we're talking about, you know, basically a big falsity.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate everything that you're doing right now. And you're a connector and... you know, I'm one of your biggest fans, so I appreciate it, man.
Dude, all fully reflected back to you. I see the work that you're doing in the world, but more importantly, who you are while you do it as such a big point of inspiration and really leading the example of what it means to embody just authenticity and the divine masculine, which is your ability to be strong and soft and not think that being soft means that you're going to be weak. But being able to carry that in all of your activities, in your business, in your relationships. By you being that example, man, you give so many people unconsciously the permission that it's okay, that you can be who you are, that you don't have to put on a persona. You can be real, that no matter how much you grow, there's still room to growth. You're a forever student. Right. And being able to see you imbibe that energy, because everywhere you go, there you are. And so is your energy. And so is everything that your energy touches. And so I just really think it's beautiful the way that you've been able to cultivate your reality and to continue to be a friend and a student and a watcher of that unfoldment process for you, man. I'm just so stoked. And I can't even wait to see where we're at 3, 5, 10 years from now, the amount of play, joy, impact, service that will continue to be rippled out.
Brother, totally received all of that. You're making me tear up. Thank you for seeing me, and this is the first step to the rest of our lives, yeah. man. Let's fucking go.
Let's go.
I'm all in.
Amazing.
In order to wake your fake up, you need to know thyself. Yeah. My brother Andre in the house, just crushing it. Thank God for this life.
Yeah.
Really appreciate this life and to have these unique relationships that are going to ship and shape every decision moving forward and how we operate with integrity and sovereignty. And I think really at the end of the day, this is about sovereignty and freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Aho, great spirit. Aho.
Thank you, brother.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yes.